Yes, today we finish up our series on Daniel. And this is one of the most famous stories, as you know. I'm sharing with you from the scriptures, Daniel chapter 6, beginning with the 16th verse and going through verse 28. And I invite you to listen for God's word to you this day. Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you." A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No food was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then, at break of day, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel then said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no wrong." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. The king gave a command, and those who had accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the den of lions. Their children, and their wives. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples and nations of every language throughout the whole world, "May you have abundance and prosperity. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. For he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered throughout the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. May God bless his holy word to us this day. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So last Sunday after church, Tom and I had an amazing experience. We went to Macungie, Pennsylvania. As you know, Macungie is around the Allentown, Bethlehem area, and we were there for an important purpose. We were there to see, for the first time, our grandnephew, Colin William Saul. Isn't that a great name? Colin William Saul. Second child. to our niece, Abby, and her husband, Bobby, long-awaited second child. He comes into the world with big brother Caden, who is 8 years old. So it was just so wonderful, and I have to tell you, I think, you know, he's the best grandnephew ever anyone could ever lay eyes on. I mean, I have pictures if you want to see later at coffee hour, and of course, I am not biased. I'm just a proud Aunt Barbara, let me tell you. But what always gets me time and time again when I hold such a little one like Colin, and this was the first time in years I've been able to hold a baby who was just a few days old. Abby had had him just the previous Tuesday, okay? But whenever I hold a baby like Colin, I always think about the dependency, you know, the vulnerability. No one would ever say in a million years that Colin would need at this point in his life to be responsible for himself within his circumstances in life. No one would. I mean, that would be absurd. And it would be absurd, right, to just look down at a little one like that that you're holding in your arms and say something like, okay, from now on, these are the things you need to figure out on your own. And we'll just see how well you do. We'll observe, you know, we'll check in once in a while just to see how it's going. But the diapers are over there. The bassinet, yeah, it's over there. When you get hungry, you know how to find what you need, right? And if your big brother or your big sister really holds you not in the right way, don't worry, don't be afraid, just speak up. Let us know, let everyone you know know. I mean, really? Saying that kind of thing, it would just be pure foolishness. All of us know that. Absurd nonsense. We can never look at the dependency of an infant without seeing it through the filter of what we are responsible for. Right? So what's so easy with infants gets really, really complicated when you talk about how it is with adults. I mean, how much responsibility should a person have to just pull themselves up by their bootstraps, right? Who gets to decide how big their need may be? Who gets to decide the circumstances that should or may not be in their control? There's a lot of factors, a lot of factors. There's no easy formula. If only there was some kind of easy formula that all of us could go by and we would know exactly where our responsibility for others lie. But, you know, it's just not out there. It's not out there. But there's a few things that I know for sure. I know for sure that this whole area of life is not neat and tidy. I know for sure that the Christian faith means that we are to embrace Micah's words, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And I know for sure we are to hear Jesus' commandment to love others just as much as we need to love ourselves. And the other thing I know for sure as I am standing here before you today, as sure as I know the sun is going to rise tomorrow, I know Jesus had this amazing sense of kinship, this amazing sense of family, with the most vulnerable, with the most marginalized, with those who hurt, and they hurt because of forces outside of their control. That's a very real fact. It's real. And Jesus always wants the same for our own experience. So believe it or not, this brings me to talking about our final story having to do with Daniel for today. It truly, truly does. This is probably the most famous story we know about Daniel, right? We heard the other really famous story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace. But this one probably is even more famous than that one. And last week you heard that Daniel, our hero, he stood before his God with a trustworthiness that was to be admired. He prayed, he was loyal, and for that he was accused. That was his crime. And so here he's thrown into the den of lions to really see what's going to happen, whether or not God's going to be with the servant or not. And here Daniel comes out of the situation unscathed. I mean, how wonderful is that, right? And the story has stood for generations upon generations as Daniel here, the hero, he trusted God. This is a testimony and a witness to his faithfulness. And we can all feel the goodness of God and the situation and how we can then think about the ways that God delivers us, ways that we see, ways that we may not see. I mean, all of that is cool. It's really cool, right? So I thought that was what I was going to focus on with you today, to just a few days ago, frankly, and I sat with the Bible, and for us, we know the Bible is a living word, and it's expressed inside of us in our, heart of hearts. It's heard within a community of faith so that we can all struggle and we can all witness to what is actually there on the printed page and know God's Spirit in a relevant way today. So I sat with the scripture, and you know what happened? I saw a verse or two that I never even knew was at the tag end of the story. It never gets noticed. It never gets airtime. It just, though, is there, and it is striking. We hear that after Daniel's deliverance, the accusers of Daniel, they're thrown into the lion's den, and they don't fare so well. But it's not just them. It's also their children and their wives. Their children and their wives, they're actually thrown into the lion's den too. And we hear that their bones are broken by the lions before they even hit the bottom. Their children and their wives, Why did they deserve that bitter end? What crime did these children and wives commit? For the children, was it just the crime of being born? For the wives, was it the crime of marrying a potential accuser of Daniel? I mean, really? They in no way, shape, or form asked for anything of what they got. And talk about such a vulnerable population anyway at the time and the vulnerability they have within this situation. And think about this. Even if these children and wives somehow all banded together in the midst of their terror, raised up in protest right before they were thrown into the lion's den, absurd, I know, but we still have to be reminded of their vulnerability. I mean, who would have been there to hear their voices anyway? Right? Who was there to care for them in their time of great need? Who was there to protect them from this atrocity, not of their own making? I can't help but think about people today who think, who hears my voice? Sometimes we can do our best to intentionally hear what those who may be invisible in society, invisible to the culture of, you know, buy this and get more of that and make success the best way you can. They may be invisible. They are invisible. But who's around to hear their voices? And sometimes we can just happen to hear voices, right? When we're going about our days and we're paying attention to our to-do list and we're not really focused on anything that would have to do with the voices that need to be heard, and sometimes they just come to us, and maybe God puts us in those positions, you know? There's the voice of Betty. I heard Betty's voice over the airwaves of my radio. Betty, to this day, would have no idea I heard her voice, but I heard it loud and clear. Betty was being interviewed about what her life was like right now, 2 weeks after Hurricane Florence, you know. And she was in a shelter, big gymnasium, and she was talking about her experience. And she was sharing about how she's getting up in years, and what she was dealing with was cot after cot after cot after cot, being in this big gymnasium. One of those cots happened to be hers. I mean, they had rules there to help people out. 10 p.m., lights out, quiet. People are people. There would be talking all throughout the gym. She could never get a good night's sleep. And then it was cold. It was really, really cold, she said. And then they kept it really, really cold. She had asked for sheets. She had asked for blankets. She had a heavy house coat on. She was still freezing. How can you sleep like that? And then she wondered when she would ever be able to get back to her home. It was a rental home. It was still underwater. She paid, she said, about $650 a month to be there, living on disability. That was just about all she could afford, barely that, and then to have a little bit extra. She knew that FEMA would be helping her out soon. They would give her, I think it's $800 for renting a place to live. Not bad. But there's lack of affordable temporary housing right around where she lives. She'd been scouring, looking for a place, and the rents were far more usually twice as much as that $800. She thought to herself, maybe I could go to a motel, you know, to get a respite, to just be able to get a good night's sleep. She got herself to a motel just for one night out of that cold gym. She gets there. She has $50 to her name. They say, to get a room, it's going to cost you over $70. She didn't have it. All she could do was go back to her cot in the gym. An invisible voice, invisible person to many of us, just because maybe we don't have the opportunity to hear, just because maybe we don't seek out hearing, a voice that God hears. And so there's all these opportunities, we know that, to intentionally hear these other voices that are on the fringe. What voices do we hear? What voices does Jesus call us to hear? No one was there for the children and the wife in Daniel's story. Those who were pulled into circumstances that just left them so vulnerable without hope. Who do we need to see and who do we need to hear through the filter of what is our responsibility? So maybe we wonder this, well, if we work hard, you know, to see and to hear and we actually try to respond, isn't it overwhelming? We do what we can, but there's always another voice to hear. There's always someone else to see. There's always need upon need and people being pulled into the depth of that need because of poverty or their ethnicity or natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis. There's another thing that I feel is very true, as true as I can even hear in my heart of hearts, as sure as I am standing here and I know that the sun is going to be there again tomorrow morning, and that is this. The sheer amount of desperation doesn't leave us off the hook, you know? Never leaves us off the hook. We always have to remember the people that maybe can't pull themselves up by their bootstraps because they don't have boots, right? And we are called to do even small acts with great love. That's what Mother Teresa guides us in doing, and we are grateful for those words, and that's a non-negotiable. We all know that. And there's something else I want to say, and this holds true for me, maybe it holds true for you. Sometimes we have a fear of looking into the eyes of too much sadness, the eyes of too much suffering, the eyes of those who suffer because they're just in a particular place or they're in a situation that they never expected to be on, in so on and so on and so on. Maybe there's a fear of too much of that, right? Because our hearts will break too much. That can hold us back. And yet I hear the writer Mark Nepo. He has some wonderful words, I think, that have helped me with this, and I offer them to you. He says this: inevitably, the tears of heartbreak water the heart they come from, and we grow. Inevitably, the tears of heartbreak water the heart they come from, and we grow. We grow in love. We grow in compassion. We grow more and more and more in seeing and hearing from the voices around us, those who tend to be invisible, those who end up being the, oh, by the ways in life, just like these verses were just tacked on to the end of this story. We grow more and more in furthering the way we need to see need filtered through what is our responsibility. We grow more and more in identifying what we really can do and what the whisperings of God call us to do. And I believe that's a good thing, a really, really good thing. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, open us up to the need that we see around us. Help us hear with ears. Help us hear through our hearts. Help us hear with all that we have. Help us hear the voices that are there. If only we have the wisdom, the discernment, and if only we have the calling in our hearts to do so. Be with us, we pray, as we struggle, as we grapple, as we seek to be the servants you call us to be. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.